Hello and welcome to the Success Stories Podcast, Episode 1 with Waylon Chavez, where I'm going to introduce what the podcast is about and give you a little bit of my story. So the name says it all, Success Stories, because behind every success, there is a story. This idea came to me about a year ago and, I kind of procrastinated on it, thought about it, got some feedback from some friends and mentors about it, and they encouraged me to move forward with it because what I really want to do and what people see is the end result of anybody successful, whether that be a celebrity, whether that be somebody in your family, a friend, coworker, whatever that may be. Everybody always sees the end result. And just like I said in the intro there, success stories, because behind every success there's a story. And the stories go back, and the stories are who make the successes and make the people successful. It's about not giving up. It's about failing, being persistent, being inspired, and letting that goal or dream push you to not give up. So my goal with the podcast is to inspire and empower people by hearing other stories just like us, of what they came through, what they've overcome, and how they're living a fulfilled, successful life now. So the premise of the podcast is going to be interviews. I'm going to interview people. They're going to tell us their story, where they came from, what they went through, what pushed them through, and what tips they can give you to, take that first inspired action. So my hope with this is to inspire you, empower you to take action, because as myself, I know we all have dreams and goals, and sometimes we just don't know how to get there and how to attain it. So my hope, like I said, is to inspire and empower you to take that action or to even discover what you want. The number one reason why people never get what they want is because they don't know what they want. And I think probably the second and third reasons are is because the time it's going to take to achieve the goal and what they're going to have to learn to do it, because you're not going to be the same person you are now trying to achieve something different. And that's the whole thing with personal development, goal setting. I really don't want to like the word goal setting. I like goal achievement better because anybody can set goals, but I really like to achieve goals. And so this is going to be a podcast about that, about inspiring. It's not going to be, it's just going to be invite your friends, invite your family, listen to it. And hopefully one of the stories, whether if it's not mine, hopefully it's one of my guests that will inspire you to take that action. I would love your questions. I would love your feedback. I'm here to be interactive with you. There's no cost to this, obviously. I'm just here to help and serve because I believe if people are living their highest and best and their true happiness, our society would be a far off better place. And that being said, I want to start off with a quote from Lionel Messi, who is a soccer player. And it really stuck with me because it's really the truth of success. Because, like I said, people see the end result. We all see the end result of years and years and years of hard work, failure, trying again, starting over. And that's the stuff we don't see. So I want to bring that to light and show and share the stories of people that way in hopes to inspire others around society. So the quote says, "It took me 17 years, 114 days to become an overnight success." And that's so true with everything. So many people said, "Oh, he was an overnight success. He did this, he did that." But you don't look at the past 15, 16, 10, 12 years that we've been working, that anybody's been working. And a lot of you are going to be my friends, colleagues and stuff like that. So most of my journey, some of my journey, but I want to bring it out and I actually lay it out for you guys. That way you can hear everything and maybe something, like I said, will inspire you. So my journey begins, I want to say when I was 10 years old. That's at the first part I can remember any part of my childhood. I was a son to, my father was in the army. He married my mom, obviously, and I guess when he got back and got discharged, he had a got a substance abuse problem. So when I was 10, he overdosed on heroin. So, and I say that's where my life began because I don't remember anything before that, and I don't know why. I don't know what happened before that that I blocked out, but that's where I remember. So at 10 years old, having a father who just overdosed on heroin and died, I was left with my mother, and she, her and I moved in with her parents and we did that for a few years, and then she got remarried, and I stayed with my grandparents. And so I tell people I was raised with my grandparents, my grandpa mostly, who taught me my work ethic. Because he raised me on a farm. He was old school. He believed in working hard for everything you got. They taught me the value of hard work, and that's where I get my work ethic from, and my determination and my endurance and not giving up, because my grandfather taught me, you know, you want to work for something, you got to go out and do it. And I don't want to say I learned the hard way. I love the way I learned. We each have our own journey. But I was, you know, other kids were going after school, going to sports and playing and doing stuff. I was going to work with my grandfather on the farm or on somebody else's land to go, you know, prep the dirt, get it ready for alfalfa or a garden, whatever that may be. And in summers, we didn't take summer trips. You know, I'm also an only child. So that's another thing. I don't know if many of you know, I'm an only child. So it was just me and my grandfather. And I was very immature at a young age, hanging around, you know, a 50-year-old mentor of mine, which was my grandfather, like I said. So I got very mature, and I don't know if that, you know, it's my own journey. So I don't know if it helped me, it hurt me, or whatever it was, but I wouldn't say I had your normal childhood. I had my childhood, which I loved and I adored, because it taught me my work ethic and who I am today. So, you know, during the summer, we would get up 6 o'clock in the morning, head out, go to the farm, work all day. You know, but my grandfather did make it fun. We had great conversations. We, you know, we went out to lunch. We had a barbecue there at the farm. He made it very fun and interesting in his own way, in the way he could. And it got me to be who I was today. But being raised by your grandmother and grandfather, they have the best intentions for you, but they don't know really what we want. So, you know, what I mean by the best intention is, they said, you know, go to school, graduate, get a government job, work there for 25 years, be safe, be comfortable. You know, you have your benefits, you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. And I know that came out of love. And I did that. I did that for 10 years. I graduated high school in 1996. My first job ever was construction. So, you know, that was pretty rough there, digging ditches in the heat, in the cold, in the snow. But lucky enough, in 1997, I was fortunate to get hired on by the city of Albuquerque in the graffiti removal division for $10 and like 16 cents an hour. And what that would entail is me going out and looking for graffiti around the city of Albuquerque. If we see graffiti, we'd stop, paint over it, or like people would just call in their where they saw graffiti at, and we would go out there and take care of that to keep our city beautiful. So, you know, a 18-year-old kid being able to afford that, or not afford it, but given the pleasure of a good government secure job, you know, with health insurance. I was newly married at the time, so that was good. But, you know, so that was good. And then after about a year after that, I got a promotion. I worked on getting my CDL, which is my commercial driver's license. And then I got a promotion to being a sanitary truck driver. And that's just a glorified name for being a trash truck driver. So, you know, I went from $10 an hour to, I think it was like $16 an hour and some change. And I did the same thing every single day. I got the same paycheck every 2 weeks. And I said to myself, you know, it was great. You know, like I said, I was newly married. I, you know, 20 years old now, making a living, making a great living, making $18 an hour. Having health benefits. I was very secure. I was very comfortable and very fortunate. But, you know, over the years and going on and on, you know, I was making the same paycheck every 2 weeks, doing the same thing every single day. And, you know, if you go to the landfill and you dump your truck with all the trash in it, and there's the wind and you're caught in the wind and you open that tailgate or whatever, you're going to get caught with that wonderful smell of trash or any juices that are flowing out. And you'll smell like that the rest of the day. So, you know, I just got fed up with it, and I think I had a growth mindset, and I wanted more. I wanted more out of life. I wanted more out of myself. I knew I was capable of more. So what I did then is I investigated what could I do, what career could I have that if I failed, it was because of me, or if I succeeded, it was because of me. I didn't want to leave my outcome to nobody else. You know, when you're working for somebody, or especially a government agency, you're at the mercy of, you know, city council, the mayor, your superiors, to the public, because you're a public servant, a public employee. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I love serving. I love doing that. That's part of one of the reasons I started this podcast, is to help people and tell you my journey and how you can create your own journey. But there's a cap on what you can earn. You have no growth, I should say. You know, working in federal, city, county government is pretty, pretty straightforward. You just go in, you do your work, and you leave, you know. And I knew I was built for more. You know, I knew my grandparents had the best intentions. I knew they wanted me to be safe. They had the best intentions for me, like I said, but I wanted more. So what I did is I investigated real estate. I said, what could I do where I can help others, I can serve others, but I can also be, quote unquote, my own boss. But if I'm successful, it's because of me, or if I fail, it's because of me. And I got into real estate. I investigated it, talked to a few people, and chose to go ahead and do that. So what I did is I enrolled in night classes, still working for the city. I didn't quit. So I enrolled in night classes, and it's a 6-week course from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the into the night. And I would have to be at my city job at 6 in the morning. So, you know, when you're determined, you're going to find the ways and the means to do it, and you'll find that motivation to get it done. So I did that. I passed my coursework for my real estate, but then once you pass your coursework, there comes a national test and a state test that you have to pass before you can be a realtor. So, and that's to be a part of the National Association of Realtors, which is a great thing, and it's part of your state and local association. So, you know, me having a high school education, not going to any college, going straight to work, I had always considered myself a worker, not a studier or a learner. So that being said, when I went to take my tests, and mind you, these tests cost. So when you go in, you have to pay every time you go in. So it was $100 every time you went in. So I went in, I took my test the first time, and I passed my state test with flying colors. I think I got like an 86 on it, and the passing score was a 75. But lo and behold, I failed the national exam. I think I got like a 62 or 63. I don't remember. So what did I have to do? I had to come back, go to work, come back home, study, study, study. I went back and rescheduled the test after, I think it was 2 weeks. You had to wait to reschedule your test to retest. So I did that. I studied the 2 weeks. At this whole time, I was still continuing my job at the city, driving a trash truck every single day. And then I went and took it my second time. So I took it my second time. I failed again, but only by 3 or 4 points this time. I got like a 72, I think. And it obviously needed a 75. So, you know, back to the drawing board. I'm not one to give up. When I have a challenge faced in front of me, and I think that's what excites me and gets me going, is when I have a new challenge, it excites me and I want to do it and I want to prove myself right, but I also want to prove others wrong and show them, yes, you can do it no matter what education you have, no matter what you think you have or you perceive you have in your mind, you can accomplish anything once you put your mind to it. So what I did then is I came back and I doubled down on the study, and I studied twice as much. I started writing stuff down, the answers and the questions, because obviously just reading the answer and question wasn't working for me. So I started writing down my answers and my questions so it would retain in me. And this is all before I had any knowledge of how the mind works, any knowledge of the personal development and the law of attraction and stuff like that. So this is all pre personal development era. So I did that for another couple of weeks, went and took my test again, and finally passed my third time. Third time's a charm. So then I was able to go and register and be a realtor at my state or on my local association. So that all said, when you get into real estate, they don't tell you there's a bunch of fees and this and that. So I about $3,500 later, I was a realtor. So you have to pay your state dues, your local dues, and your national dues, which is all good because you belong to these national organizations that give you that are professional, that help you become that master and that professional in your field. And you also have to get Arizona Emissions Insurance, which covers you. It's an insurance for agents that covers you in case, you know, anything happens. But once that happened, I said, well, what am I going to do? I got hired by an independent real estate company. I've never been with a big franchise. And I think the reason for that is, like I said, I've always been a go-getter my own self. And not to say the people at those companies are not, but I always just like to work one-on-one with people. I'm very relationship oriented and very, I like to be more of an advisor because, you know, in real estate, we're really helping people with their biggest financial decision of their lives. So I wanted to be that person, that go-to person where you can only come to me to buy or sell, but I wanted to be that resource. I wanted to educate people. I wanted to learn the right way and be in here for longevity. And this was all back in 2006. So 97 to 2006, I was working for the city. And then in 2006, May of 2006, I did something pretty crazy, which was quit my job. I quit my job cold turkey at the city, so I had no income coming in, which I also think was a blessing though, because as Tony Robbins says, you want to burn all your bridges. You don't want to have a plan B, because if I would have had a plan B and had that steady income coming in, I don't think I would have gave my full 100% effort in real estate because I didn't have to. It could have kind of been my second thing. Oh, if it happens, that's nice. But if not, oh well, I still have this. So I quit my job at the city, gave up my comfortable salary, gave up my benefits, and to pursue real estate. And this was back in May of 2006. And I had hooked up with an independent company here in Albuquerque. It was just myself and the qualifying broker, which I was blessed. I always say things are meant to happen when they're supposed to happen. And I think it was meant for me to go there. My sister-in-law introduced me to her. It worked out great. She trained me one-on-one. She had been in the business over 20 years already, so she knew the in and outs of the business and the right way to do things, not just to close a transaction, but to actually take care of the customer and the client and have their best interest at heart. So that was great. I did that for 2 years. And in the meantime, while I was doing that, I reached out to the Young Professionals Network because when I get into something, I go all in and I wanted to be that professional and know stuff and get involved in my industry and make it better for not only myself, but others. So I reached out to the National Association of Realtors and there's an organization called the Young Professionals Network. And I was still in my 20s at this time, so I was still considered a young professional. Since then, they've kicked me out. I'm just kidding. There's no age limit on it, but I reached out to the National Association of Realtors and I started the Young Professionals Network Albuquerque chapter here, and that's just to get young professionals involved in their industry, educate them as to what's going on so they can be that professional for their customers and clients. And that was pretty awesome. And what I did is going back to my work ethic that my grandfather taught me was in May of 2006, I had no idea how real estate worked. I just thought you go out there and work. That's what I was used to. I had to go out, work, and hustle and not come home until I was satisfied. I had a contract or I had met somebody that's a potential client. I would, I didn't know no better. So I would get a little cardboard boxes, cut them up and write on them, with a just black Sharpie magic marker, brand new home, $500 down, 3 bedroom, 2 bath. And I would get these survey sticks. I would go to Home Depot and buy these survey sticks and staple them to there and just drive around my town, just popping those in everywhere, generating calls. Because who's not going to want to get into a brand new home for $500 down? And once I did that and was generating calls, generating business, I was fortunate enough to sell 19 homes that year between May and December of 1990, 19, not 1996, of 2006, I'm sorry. Like I said, I didn't know no better. I just went out there and to drum up business. I just did what I thought I could do to drum up business and help people, and it worked. I was going against the grain. I didn't know what the norm was in real estate, so that was good for me. And again, I quit my job at the city, so I didn't have no income coming in. So I had to do something. So like I said, I put those signs out. I would put, 20, 30 a day, go out. Lo and behold, the city would come out and pick them up because they didn't want stuff on the sidewalk, or not on the sidewalks, but like on side of the road and stuff. So I would go replace them. Every time they were pulled, I'd go replace them. On Friday afternoons, I would go do them for the weekend because I knew the city was off on the weekend, they wouldn't get pulled. So I did what I had to do for that first time in the business. And like I said, it worked. I was able to sell 19 homes my first year in real estate, my first basically 6.5 months. I was nominated for Rookie of the Year through our local association. I did not win, but for me, it was just an honor to be nominated because I had never worked. I was never brought up to work for an award or work for something. You work because you have to. And you work because that's what you do to support yourself and your family and your habits, whether that may be traveling, whatever it may be. And so it was kind of cool to get recognized by my association as doing that. But after that, in 2008, I knew I'd always wanted to open my own real estate company. So in 2008, I went ahead and did that. I opened my company. Back then, I had called it Superior Brokerage Services. But the reason I called it that is because I wanted to be superior than everybody else. I wanted to be that resource, that education source for people, whether buying, selling, or investing. Because so many times, in the real estate industry, and it's perceived that, you know, there's there to buy and sell. It's very transactional, and I didn't want that. I wanted to be very relationship oriented. So I wanted to be that go-to person, just like your accountant, just like your doctor, just like, you know, your tax person, whatever it may be. I want to be that in real estate. So I opened my own company, but there was another company with a similar name here, but it was a mortgage company. So I decided to change it to ABQ Premier Properties. So I did that in 2008, and, you know, being with my own company now going on, well, it's going to be 2020 now. So, you know, from 2008 to now, been operating my own company, which is amazing. I get to serve my clients. I get to, you know, be involved in their lives. It's not just about a transaction. And in the meantime, when I was doing all this about being a master with my profession, I discovered an organization called the Council of Residential Specialists, and they offer a designation, which is higher education in the real estate industry versus just taking your 6-week course and becoming a realtor. I wanted to be a master. I wanted to know how to serve my clients better. I wanted to be that resource, like I keep saying. So I went after this designation, and it's the only designation I have. Reason being is because it's the only designation required that you also have to have certain sales production to be a part of it. There's a lot of other designations out. You go take one class, you get a certificate, and you can say your whatever designation. I'm not going to name any of them, but I'm going to stick with this one because it's the one I chose. And you have to take so much education that I went out to Las Vegas for a week, and I took 5 days of courses from 8 to 5 every day for 5 days. And that didn't even cover my education. I had to take 3 or 4 more electives after that, and not to mention have so much production before I can even be awarded this CRS designation. So that's the reason I chose the CRS designation, because I knew it was the best out there. It's the top 3% of realtors in the country, but it's a way for me to better serve my customers and clients and be that much more knowledgeable for them. So I pursued that, and that took me about 1.5 to 2 years to get with the education and production. So, you know, I pursued that. I didn't give up on that, and I've been part of CRS now, God, since I think 2008, 2009. And I've had the privilege of speaking at their national convention, which is Celebration. I've had the privilege of being chapter president here in New Mexico, bringing awareness to other realtors here. So I'm very proud of that. And when I opened my own company, I've always had this giving and serving heart. I don't know, you know, how or where that came from, but those of you that know me, as I want to help and I want to serve others, because I know we all have dreams, we all have goals, we just don't know how to get there. Before my personal development era, I used to say I always got what I wanted, but it was kind of like walking uphill in mud. I was kind of forcing it. And when I learned about goal setting, about our mindset, about the law of attraction, I still get the same things I want, but it's a lot easier because I know the system now. And this is still personal development era. So when I opened my company, I just wanted to create a better environment and a better place for agents here in Albuquerque. So I started recruiting some agents. And at my one point, I was up to 13 agents at one point. And like I said, this was pre-personal development area, pre-coaching, pre-mentor, pre-leader area. So I knew what I wanted to give them, but I was learning as I go. And I was so appreciative for these 13 agents to come over to my company, trust me with that. But I was learning as I went too. So that lasted for a few years. And then I went back to a solo company of just myself, kind of regrouped. The reason for that is I went to a National Association of Realtors conference. And I discovered a guy by the name of Jack Canfield, which he was our keynote speaker at one of our events at the National Association of Realtors conference. And he's author of The Success Principles, co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so many people say, and now I believe it, we go through things in our life and we're supposed to. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I went and heard Jack. And, you know, so many times people go to these conferences with a group of people. They go with their companies. They go with other colleagues. For me, being an independent contractor and having my own company, I went by myself. Nobody pushed me to go. I was going because I wanted that knowledge and I wanted to better myself for my customers and clients. So I went alone, and I, you know, would attend these conferences alone. Yes, I would have friends out there that I would meet from other states, which was amazing. But, you know, I went alone. I went to my own sessions. I did my own things. And Jack Canfield was speaking about, or he was a keynote speaker at one of the events, and he was speaking this stuff called goal setting and you know, how we talk to ourselves actually weakens ourselves, how we have the power of our mind to achieve what we want. You know, goal setting, goal achievement. If you're not setting goals, if you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, very caught my ear very, very much. And I was very, very intrigued by it. So after that meeting, he was promoting his Breakthrough to Success event. This was November, and his event was in August of the next year. So what I did is I signed up there. It was like $3,500 to attend the 7-day event. And I attended it, and it completely changed my life. In between then, though, I'd read the book, The Success Principles. So I started implementing some of that in my life, you know, the goal setting, what do I want? And that's where I really discovered people never get what they want in life because they never decide what they want. And that was me for so many years. And by this time, I think I'm in my 30s. but, you know, that was me for so many years. I just thought, you know, like I said, I was raised with my grandparents. It was like, you just go to work, work for 25 years, retire, and then you can start living. So that was my mindset for so long. And Jack's book really opened my eyes. That one keynote presentation he did really opened my eyes. And then I read his book and attended Breakthrough to Success in 2012. That was my first interaction with Jack in 2012. And back then, it was a 7-day event, which started at 8 a.m. and we didn't end till about 6 or 7 p.m. It was a complete deep dive, working on yourself, deciding what you wanted, taking 100% responsibility. And it completely opened my eyes to a whole new world of helping people get what they want and creating and planning and creating my own life. We all have the ability to plan and create our own life. We just don't know how, you know, and that was me for so many years. And it got me in and it got me and it hooked me. And I've been working with Jack ever since. But the results of going after Breakthrough to Success after that first year of planning, creating, and setting those goals and taking that action was I actually tripled my income and I actually tripled my time off. But that is I actually discovered what truly makes me happy. And like I said, I was programmed by grandparents with all the knowledge that they had, the best intentions with the knowledge that they had at the time was just work, 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 and then retire, then you can have fun. But learning this stuff, and this is funny, my son asked me this the other day. He said, Dad, what's the purpose of life and the meaning of life? Is it just to go to school, go to college and work and that's it? I said, no. The meaning of life is to discover what truly makes you happy. Find a career that you love, that you're passionate about, and use that career as a way to fund your life and happiness. Because if we wait until we're retired or we wait till whatever, what happens if you die? Things happen. What happens if you don't make it there? You've never lived a fulfilled life. And when I told that to my son, he like looked at me and says, wow, I've never heard it like that before. He goes, because everybody just talks about school and work and this and that. I said, no, we got to find what we're passionate about, what makes us happy, and then find a career we love that can help and serve others, that can fund our lives to help us travel to, you know, whatever it is that you're passionate about, travel. For me, it's travel. I keep bringing that up. I love being on the beach. I love traveling. I love going to conferences. I love going to workshops. I love being around like-minded people. That's vacation for me. That's fun time. You know, I don't think I can sit and just do nothing. Even when I'm on the beach, I'll tell you later, I'm creating. And, you know, it's amazing. It's awesome. So that's what I love doing. And that is what my goal and my passion is. Even with this podcast, I'm just trying to find ways to reach people, to inspire and empower them, and let them know that you have the power to plan and create your own life. And that's, you know, so many times we just don't know that. We don't think it's possible. So I attended Breakthrough to Success, and I was so moved by it that Jack was just implementing a train the trainer program where you can come in, you work personally with him for a year. And I did sign up for that. And I like to tell people, you know, I didn't go to a normal college, but for me, this was my college degree. And probably I invested as much as a college degree in it. But for me, the investment was well worth it because now I have the power to change lives and my own life. I can help people plan and create their lives and live their dreams and give them that hope and help them find their happiness. So I invested quite a bit of money in this program, which was called Train the Trainer. And what it was is I went 3 weeks for 1 year with Jack Canfield and worked with him for 5 days personally. And we had homework in between, like we had to host workshops. We had to come up with our own presentations. We had to read books. We had homework in between. So this was a year-long program with Jack. And we met 3 times for 5. So we met a total of 15 days total in person working personally with Jack to, again, 8 in the morning to 6, 7 at night to learn how to teach these principles, learn how to walk people through processes, help them remove the roadblocks, discover what they want, and help them to find basically their true happiness. So many times I see people, oh, I just want to double my income, want to double my income. Well, why? Why are you going to double your income? And that's the biggest question, is people don't know why they want to do it. They just see other people doing it. They're comparing themselves to other people in society and materialistic, that they just want more money without knowing why. And so many times I see people, and I did this myself when I worked for the city. You get a raise, you say, well, I'm gonna have an extra $150 a month. I'll just go buy an ATV, or I'll buy this. We spend it right away instead of saying, how could I save this and how could I invest it? So that's my goal now, is to help people with this and have a different mindset. And find their happiness. It's all about finding your happiness. What makes you happy? What's your why? What makes you tick? And then we can figure out how to make you achieve that. And so many people, we don't like to give up our comfort zones. And for me now, I love to come and go beyond my comfort zone. I love to set high achieving goals, or do something where somebody thinks I can't do it, or my own mind thinks I can't do it, and I love to push myself beyond it and prove myself wrong. So I attended this workshop in 2014, and it just completely changed my life. And like I said, and so many people think you plan to set your life one time. It's an ongoing process. You're not going to be the same person. Once you achieve a certain goal, you got to set that higher goal, that next goal. So you're always working on yourself and working on your life and working on your process. Because remember, if you're not growing, you're dying. So I graduated from that in 2014, and then I started planning my life again. I said, how could I help and serve other people in my own community? Because I was born and raised here in Albuquerque. I have a passion for it. It's home. And what I came up with is, I saw the political system going kind of crazy here in the state. So what I did is I stepped up and I put my name in the running for New Mexico State Representative again. And this was in 2014. And not knowing how, not having a political party help me or do it, it was myself, my close family, and my close friends that helped me. We went out and knocked doors. We met people. I learned as I went. I said yes. I took the action and I learned as I went. I didn't plan it all out. So many times we want to set a goal, but we don't start because we don't know how we're going to achieve it. So what I did with that is, I said yes, I signed up, I was on the ballot, and then I learned as I went. And I, appreciate all, my close family and my close friends that stepped up to help me. Had a lot of great turnout, got walk, we walked, knocked doors, talked to people, and I got to see the inner workings of politics and what happens behind the scenes. So election day came and I did lose, which was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I lost by only 1,000 votes, though, so that's pretty good for a first timer. But I want to know, and I want to have experienced that if I want to say yes. There's a quote by Richard Branson that I really love. He says, "If somebody offers you an amazing opportunity, say yes, and you can learn how to do it later." And that's exactly what I did with this running a campaign. I had no clue what I was doing. I'd never done it before. I didn't know how to raise money. I didn't know anything. I just said yes. I wanted to see a change in my community. I said yes. And I learned as I went along. And I don't consider it a failure. I consider it a lesson. And losing was actually the best thing that happened to me, because seeing what goes on there behind the scenes and having a truly heart of compassion and caring for your community, I really wanted to make a difference. And for lack of a better word, it's not really possible being a politician, because all they do is bicker back and forth about each other and this and that, and nothing gets done. So I said I could have a better effect on my community out working in the community, being involved in the community through my real estate, through my teachings here. And that being said, I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit, so to now, which is, I have the privilege of teaching at a high school, of teaching these principles at a high school here in town, and I get to teach them to seniors that are going out into the world, that are gonna be graduating this year. So that's how I'm having an effect on my community. Rather than being a politician, and having a title, I get to go work with seniors every day, teach them these principles, help them plan and create their life with something they never even knew, they never heard of, that like I didn't at their age. So step back to 2014, after I lost my election, I want to revolutionized the real estate and sales industry with this work, but there's so much, I don't know what you call it, maybe stigma around the industry of like, you just gotta work, make money. And for me, I wanna do it, and I wanna give this training to realtors and sales professionals and let them know, well, why do you wanna make all that money? It's an ego thing. It's your ego. You gotta compete with this other person and compete with this, and you wanna look good on social media. You wanna do this, but why are you truly doing it? Let's plan and create your life. Then you know how much you have to make to fund that life. Because the number one, the biggest number you always hear is, I gotta be a millionaire. But why? What if you only need $200,000 to fund the life you live and you'd be happier than ever and you don't have to prove anything to anybody else? You know, and that's where I'm at now. I used to be that. I used to want $5 million and a private jet and this and that. But now I step back and I said, you know what? Well, what really makes me happy? Why do I need all that? Well, it was to impress others, to show other people. And for me, I just want to be happy. I want to live a fulfilled life. I want to do what I want when I want with no restrictions. So I wrote a book in 2014 called Maximize Your Profits, Trading Facebook for FaceTime. And what it was basically a workbook, because I don't, for me, I want to give the most value as possible. So I'm not going to write a book and then say, well, if you go here, you can buy my program and I'll teach you more. I put everything in there. So it's basically a workbook. I put everything in the book for you to walk through these exercises, plan and create your life as much as you want, and discover why. Why do you need that money? Because so many people say, I need the money, and then they'll decide what to do with it. What I like to do is just plan and create your life, and then discover how much money you're going to need to fund that. And that would include investments, savings, and retirement. And then we get the why behind it. So I was fortunate enough to get my book on Amazon and become a number one best-selling author on Amazon, which is pretty amazing. So, you know, coming from working on the farm with my grandfather to having a number one best-selling book to running for political office, it's my story and it's my journey, and I love it. And that's why I want to share it with people. And going alongside with that is, I wrote a journal and I said, when I'm on the beach or wherever, I'm still creating. So vacation for me is going to a workshop, a seminar, learning more, growing more, seeing what tools I can implement, working on my mindset, connecting with like-minded people. And that's also the purpose of this podcast. It allows me to do something I love and talk with other people about their journeys, about their goals, about their personal development journey, about how they grew. And it allows me to live my passion while having fun. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm my own guest today because it's an introductory episode, but I have a cup of coffee here. I'm recording it. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on my podcast. I get to live my passion, but at the same time, I get to inspire others. So what is that for you? If you knew what it was, what would that be for you? So going back to being on the beach, I took a trip to Florida one year, and one of my friends lived out there that we met actually in Jack Canfield at Breakthrough to Success, and we've been partners and accountability partners and everything ever since. So we were on the beach and we just get to talking, you know, and lo and behold, by the end of the trip, we had a journal, which is called The Intention Grabber. And the reason why we named it that was because so many things have our attention, but what's your intention? So it's a 45-day intention grabber journal. You set an intention, you journal it every night, and the goal of that is to see if your goal is going to be manifested by the end of the 45 days, or you realize you don't want it no more. So, you know, for me, that's my passion. That's my thing, is I love being around like-minded people. I love growing. I love being at conferences. I love being at workshops. I love expanding, exploring myself, meeting new people. That's, for me, that's vacation. So you need to figure out what that is for you. So, you know, jump ahead, like I said, to now is I've had the pleasure of hosting workshops. I have, you know, when I started learning this stuff, I've had my test subject of a coaching client that I've started working with since 2014, and she owns a company, and I've been working with her since 2014. She's been kind of my test subject on all this stuff, so I know it works, and I've come up with a program for realtors and for people in general that I can do for the general public. For realtors, it's called 6 hours to Six Figures. You know, so many people think in real estate, you got to work 24/7, Saturday, Sunday, and it's not like that. They're doing that because that's the perception And that's what everybody else is doing. That's because I believe they don't have their life planned accordingly and know what they need to work with. For me, like I said, it's about doing what I want when I want. It's not about working 24/7. It's about having a life, living a life, and living a fulfilled life, and using real estate and my training and coaching as a way to fund that. So, and let me see, 2017 now, like I said, I've always had that giving nature. I've always wanted to serve. I love to give back. And like I said, my father was in the Army. My grandfather was in the Army. So I come from a line of military professionals, and I had always thought about it, but I had never done it because I was always busy growing. I went from, you know, the city to my real estate to, you know, building a company to getting professional designations to becoming a master in real estate, to then working on myself, discovering the personal development. So something was always coming up that I wouldn't want to say stopped me, but that I was making more important than doing that. And in 2017, I looked up and I just went to an Air Force website. I said, well, what's the maximum age? And at that, and when I looked, the last time I looked, it was 35, and I was already 38 at this point. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to check. And this goes back to the personal development stuff and the mindset stuff, and that's called intuition. Something led me to check that because I had always wanted to do it. I had just never done it. But when you listen to that gut feeling, that intuition, you always want to follow it, because it's never wrong. So I went to the Air Force website and I looked and I said, well, what's the maximum age that you need to be to enlist? And I looked and it was 39. So this was January of 2017, and I'm going to turn 39 in July of 2017. And I was 214 pounds and I had to be 180 before the recruiter would even talk to me. So remember, I remember I told you I like challenges and I like proving myself wrong or proving myself right. So I had to lose over 38 pounds before the recruiter would even talk to me. This is not even guaranteeing me a spot. This is not guaranteeing I would get in. This is just to have a recruiter talk to me. I would have to be that weight. So guess what I did? I have a treadmill upstairs in my bedroom. I bought a sweatsuit and I was running twice a day. And the first time I started it, I could not even run for 3 minutes. So I started walking and then I implemented running through that. I would walk in the morning on the treadmill with a sweatsuit. Then I would go before I picked up my son from school and find a track and run for 20 or 30 minutes. And I would not run the whole time. Remember, I said I couldn't even run once around the track. So what I would do is I would run for 1 minute, walk for 2 minutes, run for 1 minute, walk for two. And I increased over time now. And fast forward to now, this last weekend, I just ran my first 10K without stopping. I ran 6.4 miles in 53 minutes. So from 2017 till now, that's been my progress. And that's what it's going to take for you. It's going to take a journey. So many times you want instant gratification and it's not that way. We got to learn and go through our journey. So let me take you back to 2017. So I had to lose plus 38 plus pounds. I did that. I think it was around May. It was May. So from January to May, I lost over 38 pounds and I was 180 pounds. So I went in, talked with the recruiter. They pulled all my background, pulled all my records. I did all the medical stuff. So I was eligible to enlist in the United States Air Force. So talk about cutting things short. June 20th of 2017, at 38 years old, I signed on the dotted line and signed a 6-year contract with the United States Air Force Reserve. And mind you, my birthday is July 20th. Excuse me. My birthday is July 20th. And I would have been 39 years old. I would have technically been too old to enlist in the military. If I went to listen to that gut feeling and went and checked that website that day, I would have been too old and I would have missed out on it. And I would have always wondered, I wonder how it would have been. I wondered what it would have been like. I would have always had that wonder. But instead, I listened to my gut feeling. I took the action and I said yes. And I signed on the dotted line. And I'm still in the middle of my contract right now. And I've switched over to the Air National Guard now so I can stay here local in my hometown and work here and fulfill my service. So you're never too old. The only perceptions we have are in our mind. And going back now, is like I said, now I love to train and I love to teach this stuff, and I'm teaching it at a school here in Albuquerque, and I get to go teach one period a day to high school seniors on this personal development, on the mindset, on planning, creating, and living their life. And I get to share these principles with them at their age, because they are next, they're the next leaders of our society, and I'm so touched that I get to do it, and I have the privilege to do it. So I know we all have dreams and goals. That's my story that I wanted to share with you, and that's it's got me where I'm at today, because I know some of you see my journey on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be, but you don't know the full story. So my story started when I was 10 years old. I'm 41 right now. This started back in 1988, and it's 2019. So this journey is not an instant gratification thing. It's a journey that's going to help us grow, become somebody different. And that's what most people are afraid of, because they know they're going to have to become somebody different to achieve that goal they want. They're going to have to learn something new, go back and take a class. They're going to have to come out of their comfort zone, and that's what stops them. But remember the quote I shared with you: if somebody offers you an amazing opportunity, say yes, and you'll figure out how to do it later. And what I'm not trying to tell you is don't just quit your job right now and go do something. You have to discover what it is you want, make a plan, and start taking those actions around that plan. And then once you're at a place where you can do it, then make that full jump. But I would encourage you to burn all your boats. Don't have plan A, B, and C. But the first part would be discovering what it is you want. So many people don't know what they want. And what I would like to leave you with, I guess I could say, is two things. One, if you can get a paper, a sheet of paper on a top, write down I want, and ask yourself this for 5 minutes. Ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And anything that comes up, list it on that list. And it's going to be difficult, because for the first minute or so, it's going to be easy. It's going to be the material stuff. I want a bigger house. I want a car. I want to travel. I want a ATV. I want a boat, whatever it may be. But once you get past all that stuff, the true things are going to start coming out. Like you, I want romance. I want love. I want marriage. I want promotion. I want to be my own boss. I want my own company. I want to be an author. Whatever that may be, that true stuff is going to start coming out for you. And I would ask you to listen to that, because that's what you truly want. And the thing about it is not the stuff you get from achieving the goals, like the cars, the house, the money, the office, the whatever it may be. It's the person you become. Do you think I'm the same person I was at 10 years old to now? Do you think I'm the same person I was before I learned these principles? Do you think I'm the same person I was before I joined the military? Do you think I'm the same person I was before I ran a 10K? No, we grow as people, and that's the goal. How many millionaires and billionaires do you know that have went bankrupt only to have it all come back to them in a few short years? It's because of the person they become. They know how to do that. And that's what we need to become. We need to become stronger mentally. We need to know how our inner GPS works. Our success GPS is what I call it. We are actually all programmed for success. We just don't know it and don't know how to activate and use it. So that's the goal with this and the goal with my trainings. So do yourself a favor. Get a paper and start an I want list and just ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want? And just write that out. The second thing I want to leave you with is ask yourself, if money was no problem, would I still be at this job I'm currently at? And answer yourself honestly. And if it's yes, then more power to you, because you're doing what you love. But if it's no, I would ask, what would you be doing? Ask yourself this question: if I wasn't afraid, I would what? And finish that sentence: if I wasn't afraid, I would what? So thank you so much for joining me for my first episode of Success Stories. I hope you enjoyed my story. I hope you got some value out of it. Please subscribe to the podcast. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Waylon Chavis USA. And please share this with somebody you think might need to hear it. Please leave me a comment. And like I said, I want to be interactive with you. So please leave me a comment. If you have any questions, whatever it may be, please leave me a voice message. Anything it may be. I'm here to help. I'm here to serve you. Please subscribe to the podcast. And I look forward to sharing the stories with you guys, because remember, behind every success, there is a story. and let you have a story, and let's start creating your story, and let's start. It is my hope to inspire you to start writing the second half of your book, which is your life story. And let's end it the way you want to end it, not the way life is going to have it in store for you. You take charge of this plan, create your own life, and let's have that happy ending, whatever that may be for you. And then part two of your life starts now. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave me a comment, please share it. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Waylon Chavis USA. And I'm also on YouTube with the same thing. Just search my name, you'll find it. And I'm going to also post these on there as the video. So thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful evening and thank you for joining me. And this has been the first episode of Success Stories with Waylon Chavis, because behind every success, there is a story.